And now, another view. As he just noted, Senator Cardin's strategy has encountered much skepticism by the industry, his fellow senators, the public, even journalists themselves. One skeptic includes Newsweek technology editor Daniel Lyons. In a recent column, he argued that the government should just let struggling newspapers fail. And he's with us now. Welcome. Thank you for speaking
Hi.
With us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you heard Senator Cardin, and I know you've heard the argument before. He says that struggling newspapers should have the option of becoming nonprofits. What's so terrible?
I think it's, one, a bad idea, and two, possibly a dangerous idea. I think it's a bad idea because the problems that newspapers are having are not really caused by the recession. They're worsened by the recession, but they're caused by the fact that their business model doesn't work anymore. Their readers are leaving them, and more importantly, their advertisers are leaving them. It's a dangerous idea, possibly, because I think it sets a bad precedent to have newspapers, which should be fiercely independent, now come to rely on a sort of a handout from friendly Congress people or senators. I think
Well, hold on a second, though. I mean, because you're saying, number one, the business model doesn't work, and number two, it's sort of your dangerous reliance on what questionable sources of. Let's take those at a time. He's talking about changing the business model. That's thing one. He's talking about changing the business model. And number two, is it really any more dangerous to have newspapers relying on for example, a large number of people in the public, as opposed to what they're doing now, which is large advertisers who can then pressure them to change coverage that they don't like?
Well, I think it's bad enough that we're all in bed with advertisers. I think getting in bed with the government would be even worse. But on the business model side, I think this idea of changing it to a nonprofit if a company decides they want to go that way is really just prolonging their agony. I mean, they're still yoked to a business model that doesn't work anymore. One line I used in my story was that I think it's sort of like having a bailout for black and white TV. Black and white TV was great. I guess I come at this from the perspective of a technology guy, and I see from Silicon Valley what the internet has given us is a powerful, powerful, the best way we've ever had to share information, to deliver information, and we're just at the very, very beginning of what the internet can do. But I think to focus energy on trying to save the old thing rather than focusing on just all the great things we can do with the new thing is really the issue here. And that's what I meant to convey in my article.
We need to take a short break, but we're going to come back to you after the break. But before we do, I wanted to focus on something that the senator said, which I don't think has been widely discussed when his proposal has been discussed. And that is that he made the argument that people don't really understand how news is gathered. They focus a lot on the distribution platform, which is paper, as opposed to the internet. But he don't focus on the fact that you still need people to go out and get the news, to create this knowledge, as it were, and that people who think that these aggregators, like Google, for example, don't really accommodate for the fact that there's still somebody's got to pay these people to go sit at the school board meeting, you know, sit at the county council meeting and listen and tell everybody what's going on. And what do you say to that?
Do you want to answer that now or after the break?
No.
Oh, now.
Start now.
Okay.
And then we'll come back to you after the break if you're not done.
I agree completely. But I think it's not a matter of Google, you know, pure aggregators versus, you know, these hardworking journalists who work in print. For example, my feeling is that there are fantastic journalists out there in these print newspapers. Why not give them this new tool, which is much better than what they have? And I'm a journalist. I've worked my whole life in print. And in the last few years, I've shifted to the internet. And I can tell you that it is infinitely better in so many different ways. So a better example than Google is to look at Politico, which is a political website started by a bunch of guys, you know, heavy hitter political reporters, shoe leather reporters from the Washington Post, the New York Times. I mean, real rock star reporters who said, you know what, we're tired of working in print. We can see this is not working. Let's go raise a little bit of money and start a website. And they are now beating everybody on political coverage.
As we mentioned, we need to take a short break. But when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about the future of newspapers and the media at large in a moment. Right now, we're speaking with Dan Lyons. He's technology editor for Newsweek. And we're talking about his provocative idea to let newspapers die. Please stay with us at Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Washington, D.C. isn't just the capital of the nation. It's also the world capital of go-go. We'll talk with a man many consider the founding father of go-go, Chuck Brown, in a moment. And we remember Mercedes Sosa. That's a little later. But first, more of our conversation about the future of the media. Earlier, we heard from Senator Ben Cardin. He's a Democrat from Maryland, about legislation he's introduced that he hopes would help save the newspaper industry by allowing newspapers which so choose to convert themselves into nonprofits. Now we're talking with Newsweek technology editor Dan Lyons. He thinks that's a bad idea. He says the government should stay out of it and let struggling newspapers die. Thanks so much for staying with us. Now, Dan, are you with us?
Yes, hi.
Okay. Yep. You're multitasking there? Are you online?
No,
you're doing something else while you're...
Yet another example
of your disdain
Twitter.
For traditional media. You're tweeting our conversation as we speak.
I work for mainstream media. I work for the most mainstream of mainstream media. I'm in Newsweek's print edition, right? I mean, that's as mainstream as you get.
Well, it's to that point, though. You know, the online news sources you cite... the web versions of major papers, Politico, Huffington Post, they're not good sources for your local school board meeting, what's going on at the county council, right. What's happening at the park this weekend. I mean, there are consortiums of journalists, for example, in different areas who are very good at investigative stories, like why this particular developer is in bed with this particular county council member, for example. But
right.
But they're not necessarily good at sitting there at the county council day after day telling you what's going on with zoning, which schools are about to close and why, that sort of thing. So where does that coverage come from?
Well, I'll tell you a second, but I agree with you. And I think that training for a young journalist, I did that. I worked in Massachusetts at a bunch of small papers, and you sit there night after night, and it's boring, it's awful, and it's a grind, but you do it, right? You don't get paid very much, but it's great training. It's invaluable. But I think where it's going to come from are these new hyperlocal blogs, where I just saw, I think on Friday, that NPR, in fact, has got some money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to create a bunch of these hyperlocal sites. And I think that's an incredibly great idea. And if I were a young kid, coming out of journalism school, or forget about journalism, just a young kid who wants to be a journalist, I would go start one of those, cover my town in depth, and build a business out of it. That's the great thing about the internet is we're focusing on trying to save these old newspapers, right? But what we're ignoring is there's this huge opportunity. If you're a young person with a kind of with energy and an entrepreneurial bent, you can build your own newspaper right now. It's a great, great time to be in media.
There's also the question of the digital divide. Earlier this year, we spoke with veteran journalist Tim Gallego. He recently started publication of the Native Sun News. That's a paper for Native American communities. And, of course, he's been a pioneer in this area. He started this is his third or fourth media venture so far. One of the things he pointed out that a lot of his readers don't have internet access. And we see that a number of people in different communities aren't online yet. What about them? Who serves them?
Well, I think they'll be print, right? I mean, print isn't going to go away. I mean, I was probably being a little hyperbolic in saying, let everybody die. Print isn't going to go away any more than radio went away when TV came along. We're having this conversation on radio, an ancient, medium, but it's still very useful and valuable and great. And print will be the same way. There'll be places where print makes a lot of sense. I think they'll be smaller than they are now, but that's one thing. The other thing is that technology now is expensive, but the relentless march of technology is to become ever cheaper, ever cheaper, ever cheaper, such that it dries down and becomes more and more ubiquitous. So I think both of those things will converge to either you'll still get your news in print because you just don't want the internet or don't have the internet or can't afford it. But right now, you know, when you think about what it costs to get a New York Times subscription in print, it costs more than what it would cost you to go out and buy a laptop computer and a year's worth of internet access. So it's just a matter of, I realize there are a lot of people who don't have computers.
But you're saying it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time before it becomes affordable. Dan, can I just grab one more question from you before I let you go?
Sorry.
You've written it, and you just said, look, you're being a little hyperbolic in there. You don't want newspapers to die, and there's still some strong papers out there. What is the difference in your view? What does a newspaper... What distinguishes the survivors from the ones that are falling by the wayside? Is it how they serve the market? Is it what do you think the difference is?
I think it's the ones who first of all bet early on the internet and got on there rather than doing nothing for 10 years have an advantage now. I think also the ones that are stronger about cutting back on their costs sharply rather than trying to do death by a thousand cuts. And from a business perspective, this is, you know, a Schumpeter wave of destruction, right? A wave of progress comes through and it wipes out the old. And the people who are in the old need to sort of adapt to that and cut very sharply. And also, in a way, I mean, reach out to your customers. Find out, what do you want? I mean, the thing we're not talking about here is that newspapers have become arrogant in a lot of ways. They've become, we tell you what the news is and you just get it from us. We don't really listen to you. You can write a letter to the editor. Maybe we'll write it. They really need to reconnect with their readers and find out, what do you want from us? And then try to deliver that the way you would with any product.
All right. Dan Lyons is a senior editor at Newsweek. He was kind enough to join us from Boston, where he's probably twittering away or tweeting away as we speak. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.